Blog Talk Radio.
On the show. I called in 3 times already. Now I had to call back on Skype. It's the only way I could be sure I'm in. Skype, which I don't like. Oh boy. Can you guys hear me? I open your mics.
Are you not on a hard line?
No, I'm not, because I couldn't get in. Anyway.
Oh, well then what?
You sound
then
good,
you're
animal.
Okay, let me start the show, okay? I just didn't know if I was here. Okay, be quiet now. Hello, everybody. Hey! Recruiting Animal here on April 3rd, 2013. You know, I'm lost, but I'm going to go on anyway. I had a clash with a great man this week, Gary Vaynerchuk. At Gary V is one of the top social media gurus in the world, and he's on the rampage right now with a campaign to follow your bliss. He's telling young people to follow their bliss. Here's what he wrote. I shortened it a bit. He says, I have no understanding as to why, when you're 18 or even when you're 30, you wouldn't try to make what you are passionate about work for you. Why wouldn't you try to make the things you are passionate about work for you? If you go to school and become a lawyer and you do what everyone wants you to, and don't do the thing you really love, when you're 70 years old, you're going to be full of regret. Because when you do what you love, you really feel alive. And when you don't do what you love, you don't. And it's a nice thought. I kind of agree with him. But there's one little problem, and it's called reality. Gary makes it very clear that he's not talking about young people who have a passion to go into dentistry or accounting. They aren't being passionate about being electrical technicians with the subway system. They aren't being passionate about having a decent pay, having a job with decent pay and security. That's what their parents want. They want a job, though, that has an intrinsic value. They want a job that's going to satisfy their souls. Yeah, right. I don't know what kind of job that is, though. You know, I have a question. When they get married and have kids, are they going to have enough money to support them? Are they going to be mooching from their friends and their family? You know, all those people who didn't follow their bliss. That's what I want to know. I also want to know, if you really enjoy stamp collecting, are you going to enjoy working for a stamp company? Is that going to make you happy? So I asked Gary all those questions on Twitter. He said, I can't answer them here, but I'm going to come on your show. So he's going to come on and talk to us on Jerry. Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Wasn't really Jerry. Jerry's in Washington, D.C. They don't have phones there. He can't call in. Yeah. And I'm sorry. Everything's off to a bad start. I don't feel comfortable using the Skype, but that's what I'm on. I called in. I kept calling in. My number wasn't coming up there. I don't know what happened. We're off to a bad start. Nothing ever works the way I want it to, but I'm going to introduce the guest now anyway. First up is first-time caller Chris Fields. Are you here?
I'm here.
Well, what kind of phone are you on? I will not even do a show with you if you sound like that. Say something else.
What do you want me to tell?
Well, just don't sound like, you know, you got a vacuum running into your phone. You better sound right. What kind of phone are you on?
Well, I have to tell you, I violated one of your rules. I do not have a landline, dude.
OK, Okay, well, let's see what it sounds like. Amy, are you here? Amy Alla, award-winning
Hello.
Guest.
Hello. I'm here.
Guest. Everything's so confused for me. I wish I could start again. Okay, Chris.
You sound good on Skype, Animal. Seriously, that should be your new thing. It sounds very clear.
Great.
Yeah, I was going to say, even though I'm not on the landline, I was here on time, ready to rock and roll. So there's that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want me to pat you on the head for that? I wasn't here. I tried to be here. I called in 15 minutes early. That's the earliest I can call in. Look, Chris, I got to tell you something. This is your first time here, right? And I want to know, are you going to carry the show or am I going to have to carry you?
I'm not sure yet. It's funny. First of all, thank you for letting me be on. But I've had so many people contact me concerned about me being on the show as if I was, doing some terrible act. So I'm really don't know. I'm open, and we're just going to, we'll just have a great show. We'll just,
wrong answer. I've got to tell you this, right?
I'm going to carry the show. That's what's going to happen.
Especially
since Jerry's not here, and obviously you need help today.
So Jerry's not here. Your guest is not on a hard line. Animal's not on a hard line. Oh, my God.
Okay, let's get going. I had a little intro there. Let's sing, okay? Maybe that's a little better. No, you introduce yourself, Chris. Then we'll sing. Go ahead.
Chris Field, blogger at costofwork.com. I've also contributed to...
Sounds so terrible. I know the recording is going to be awful. Does he sound awful to everybody or just me?
I can't. I'm picking up every fourth word.
Yep, not
very
so good.
But Jane, it's more
what
important.
You for me, Chris? What kind of HR problems are you, huh?
Say that again, Al.
Try it again. Who are you? Introduce yourself.
All right, Chris Fields. I'm a blogger, consultant at costofwork.com. Also write for jobsite.com and...
That's not a good introduction. I'll introduce him. He's an HR guy. Are you an HR generalist? What's your HR title? That's why you're here. What's your title?
I'm a consultant. I don't have a corporate title.
HR consultant. Consultant doesn't mean anything. Can't you figure that out? HR consultant. Is that what you are?
It's code for unemployed, right?
Oh. Nice.
What value do you bring to the discussion?
I like it.
Chris, I started things off bad. I'll admit it. My technology wasn't working, but you're burying me, okay? You're finishing off the process. If you're looking for a job, that's great. Just tell us what kind of job you're looking. But don't make it hard to figure out what you do. Come on. You said you're a career counselor. I'm giving you a chance to have an elevator speech. Take advantage of it, or I'll get someone here to teach you how, okay?
It's not really that fluid or that simple with me. I kind of do my own thing, and I like doing it that way.
He's an enigma.
This guy does. Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. I thought he was in HR. I read his blog for 2 hours this morning, and I had the impression that was his field, but he doesn't know it himself. What can I do?
Okay. What did you think about the blog? I was wanting to get your ideas on it. What do you think?
No, you lead the conversation now, okay? You showed us you don't know. I'll lead it. Amy, introduce yourself.
I am a corporate recruiter for a very large software company, and I have a very long background in agency recruiter. And so it is now my mission to school y'all on the differences.
I know it's going to be terrible because this guy's not even – he would take it over. But we're going to sing. It's called Sex Bomb by Tom Jones. Anybody else know the lyrics?
You said just the chorus.
Okay.
I did learn the chorus, but I think we should tease the audience with it. I don't think you should give it to them up front. That's what everybody's waiting to hear.
Okay, so then you lead off, okay? You say
no.
1, 2, 3, go.
I think we should tease the audience with that. I don't think we should give them the goose,
by the way.
Don't
tell me what to do, okay?
Somebody's got to be
my lead. You don't know why the show's supposed to go.
Somebody's got to be the consultant for this
show.
Where's Jerry?
Oh, my God.
Jerry is not here to direct this show, so I'm trying to help out. I was looking forward to talking to Jerry, too.
You're the guest, okay?
All right.
Forget the singing. Forget it. Forget everything. Okay, Chris, well, let me ask you a question. I know this is not going to get a good answer. If you followed your bliss, what would you have done when you were 18?
Ooh, wow, 18? I would have stayed in state.
Would you have gotten a job Did you hear the introduction? You understand what Gary
yeah.
Vee is all about?
Yeah.
Would you have
yeah.
got a
yeah.
job, or would you have tried to be in a rock and roll band or something like
no.
that? What would you have
you
done?
Know, you know, honestly, I do love HR, and that's what I'm doing, but I didn't figure it out until later in life. When I was 18, the biggest mistake I made was going out of state for college because I thought paying a big high tuition to out of state college was going to make me a big deal. So if I could go back in time, I would stay in a local college.
Yeah,
and
question I asked.
Well.
Okay, thanks. Everything's going wrong today. Everything.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do, Animal, if I followed my bliss at 18. I would be an English-French translator living in Paris.
Yeah, and do you regret not having done that?
No.
Or married to Mike Astringer.
He wouldn't be married to Astringer, but he'd be
if
with
only.
Her.
Okay, Chris, we're going to get right into it now. I read your blog. You had an article called Bash Tag, something about Bash Tag. And you claim that recruiters are pretty shallow, and you gave an example of a recruiter who asks the candidate if she has a criminal record, and she says, yes, I do. And he says, well, I'm going to end the call right now because I can't hire you. You might go postal at the company, at the office. And that was
right.
dumb. You say that was dumb, right?
Yeah, I said that was short-sighted.
Why?
Because if he had did a little more digging, he would have found out that case that she had was 8 years old, and it was a domestic situation that was very, you know, it's more than likely not going to happen in a work setting. And she paid her restitutions and her, you know, her debt to society. So,
yeah, you know, this guy, he's not a straightforward person. I can tell, Chris, I'm sorry. I'm going to teach you on this show how to talk. The girl, the candidate, she hit her boyfriend in the head with a pan. A pan from the kitchen.
Yeah, a pan.
Okay, so... It's show, you know, he cheated on her. So she was provoked. It wasn't a domestic situation, but she was kind of violent. Was the recruiter wrong to think that she might be violent at work?
In my opinion, yes, because we got a lot of people with records out of them. You know, a lot of people out there are working that has done something, has caught a case. So I don't think it's fair to judge her on that one incident that happened 8 years prior.
Yeah. Yeah, don't make her feel like Al Capone just because she hit a guy, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think I used Rick James in the article. To OJ, something like that. I used the pop culture version.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't make her feel like
don't
that.
Don't make her
you know.
Feel like a criminal because she hit somebody. Is that what you're saying?
Well, she smacked her cheating lover in the head with a pan. That's not all bad, is
not
it?
Not so bad,
who
is
hasn't,
it, right?
Who hasn't?
I mean, really, who hasn't?
Look, yeah. Look, Chris. What else do recruiters do that's shallow? If somebody gives me their resume and it isn't clear on the resume that they can do the job that I'm trying to fill, then they say, hey, I could do it. Am I wrong to rule them out? Should I ask them a lot of questions to sort of tease out where they might have had that experience?
No, I get it. You know, it's tough on both sides. I get it. I mean, recruiters get a lot of stuff, and sometimes you just don't have the time to go through all that. But some of the things that I think – sometimes overlooked. Like there was another situation you had mentioned that I need to be ready to talk about that, and that got me thinking about another guy had called me. He met with a recruiter. He had a short sleeve shirt on. It stopped at the bust up. His tattoo was peeking out of the shirt. And the recruiter says to him, is that a prison tat? And he says, no. He's like, is that a gang tat? He's like, no. So things like that, making broad assumptions off of someone, I don't think recruiters should do that, and I don't think that you think that a recruiter should do something like that. But
I never have these situations. I recruit a different class of people, I have to tell you, quite frankly.
No, you know what? And that's a very good point that I was going to touch on at some point. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm in the South, and there is, you know, a talent gap situation going on. There is, you know, something to that, and there is a different class of employees and employers out there that's looking for different things. So that's very valid as well. But I do think that, you know, sometimes when you ask a candidate to dumb down their credentials for you, or if you don't really understand an employment gap that someone may have, you know, get an understanding. It could be a family situation, maybe a divorce, maybe a child, you know, whatever. Get more information before making a broad.
Anybody else want to help Chris out here and come up
I
with
have a situation? Question.
Animal,
can
you ask him if he has prison tests?
No. That's his
business. I want to know if he's considering a future in politics.
Yeah, because he's not answering anything.
Yeah, he's pretty evasive, yeah, in some ways. No, but he answered that last question. But it's somebody who's not dealing with criminals, okay, and they're hiring and they're a recruiter. Is there something that we do? I gave an example where, you know, somebody says they have experience. It's not obvious from the resume. Are you obligated to, you know, ask a lot of questions to find out why they're saying that?
And I'm not trying to deflect.
I'm not asking you now. I want to know what the others, about half a dozen or eight people on the line.
Wait a minute,
man.
Hold on.
Somebody else has an opinion.
This is my segment of the show. This is not my segment.
You don't even know anything about my show. There's a bunch of callers here. They're experienced recruiters. Why shouldn't I draw on them? Come on. Can anybody help me?
I guess so.
So, Anil, are you asking if we as recruiters have a responsibility to pull information from candidates that aren't putting that stuff on their resume?
I'm not giving them a break, you know, because we make assumptions based on their resume, not necessarily their tattoos or their criminal history. You know, I want to know, are recruiters generally shallow, or do they do a lot of, you know, rule people out in a peremptory manner? I don't think so.
90% of them. 90% of them do, because those 90% are idiots. The 10% that are on your show, Animal, are different.
Okay, fine. This show's not proven that. It's going downhill. Okay.
That's your fault.
Yeah, I know it. It's my fault. Now, Chris, you said something else. You said something else on your blog posting. This is the one I invited you to. You said that, you know, hiring managers are kind of dumb. Hiring managers, and I'm somebody who would agree about that. And the specific example you gave was the recruiter sent the candidate for an interview with the hiring manager. And the hiring manager, in fact, that was you, in fact. You went for an interview, and you started referring to stuff that was in the job description, and the hiring manager wasn't familiar with the job description at all. He said, where'd you get that stuff? Is that what happened?
Exactly what happened. Yeah, exactly what happened. I mean, he just had no clue, and it was obvious. And it's something I was going to, you know, kind of say to you, like, I don't know if you, just for shits and giggles, applied to anything recently just to see what the process is like.
Language.
Very good.
I'm not allowed to swear. Nobody else is.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. But it's a process to go through because I could clearly tell that this guy did not read his own job description and just had gotten a stack of resumes to screen through. So it was very disconnected and kind of weird, but I was thinking to myself, like, you know, if he should have did more with the recruiter and they should have worked more together, and I think that makes the candidate experience a lot better. And not to say that all, you know, hiring managers are like that, but if you're telling your recruiters that you need positions and you need this type of work done, then you need to work with them on the description.
Yeah, what we want to know is how often it happens. I had it happen to me as a recruiter. I was talking to a VP. You know, the HR person wanted me to speak to him. She was on the line, and it was a telecommunications job, but they had a whole bunch of stuff about phone telcos, and then about cable companies. And I started asking the VP about the cable companies. And he said, what are you talking about that stuff for? That's got nothing to do with this job. Where'd you get that? And I said, I got it from the job order, the job description on your website, you jerk. You know what? He didn't apologize. He still acted like I was wrong.
Yes.
I don't know. So that happened, and that was a big job. I'm wondering if anybody else would concur with Chris, my new friend, and my experience that the job, the hiring managers don't even familiarize themselves with the job descriptions. Sometimes.
Can we just get to the sexy Amy hour?
Yeah.
Mike, why don't you try to help to make it a little sexier with Chris? Chris is my first guest. I'm not going to ditch him for you, okay?
You know what? When,
or
when,
me,
when
apparently.
When he went, there were prison tattoos. I was done. So let's just get to Amy Allen.
Okay, look. We're going to do one or two more acts. You think, Chris, this is what I gathered from your blog. You think that people are always going to favor people like themselves. When people get married, they kind of want to marry somebody who's like them, so they're not at odds with each other all the time. And it's the same in a hiring situation. So the hiring manager is always going to have a bias in favor of someone like him or someone like her. That's why a minority, like women, for instance, in a techie field, a minority is always going to need affirmative action just because of the way human beings operate. Is that what you believe?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you said it absolutely right. I think that we tend to, decision makers tend to make choices to and give choices to people who they can relate to and identify with. So I think you're going to always need checks and balances in the situation.
Yeah. Okay. So women are always going to need, right now at least, at this historical period, they're always going to need in certain fields, they're always, like IT, let's say, they're always going to need a leg up, affirmative action. Is that right?
They're going to need some help.
Yeah, because because of the natural bias of the hiring managers who are mostly men. Is that right?
That's my thought, yep.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment?
An opinion is not a fact.
He didn't answer your question.
That's okay. Does anybody else want to comment?
That's his opinion, and that may be his experience, and he may know people who've been affected in that way. As a technical recruiter for a very large IT company, no. Disagree.
Evil empire.
I think it's crap. I think that, yes, the evil empire. I think, you know, I wrote about this. I interviewed my daughter, who had a very, very
beautiful
strong
girl,
opinion
by the way.
About this.
Beautiful girl.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So, you know, I think this is crap. I think at one point, yes, we needed to help women, minorities, things like that. There was, you know, certain times in our culture where that needed to happen. But at some point, we have to get beyond that. And I know a lot of young girls still fall into that. And I'm so, so grateful that my daughter's not one of them.
Okay, fine.
She
thanks.
Will call BS on that
okay,
anytime.
Okay,
I mean,
okay, 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 okay.
Yeah, I call BS, not BS.
Okay. Now, Chris, you also said, well, let's talk about there's a couple more topics before we move on. So you also said with diversity, you said we know that diversity helps make everything better. And I don't really get that in a work situation. What diversity does, diversity laws that's supposed to keep people from being prejudiced against someone because of their gender, their race, their religion, their ethnicity. So diversity, you have to be open to diverse people. You don't want to rule out people who are diverse. But if you've got an IT programmer who's a woman or an Italian or a Greek, does that mean they're going to do it better than someone who's from England? It's IT. I mean, what's the difference?
And well, thank God for diversity laws, by the way, or I wouldn't be where I am today.
I don't know if they would do it similarly better, but I think as a group, they would be better than the group of people who are all the same.
Why
in every situation that I've ever worked in, when I've worked in teams that were made up of different people, we work better and we produce better products. Like, I like me a lot. But to be honest with you, I don't want to work with a team of me. That's boring. I want a team of people like
me
Animal who will yell at you and bring something different. You need a team of people who can do some different things.
I gave you a good example, IT. Why is an IT group that has people from a number of different countries, let's say, better than one that doesn't? And not they're really all Americans, but their parents came from somewhere else.
Well, maybe they're not all Americans. Maybe somebody believes in the stereotype that a good IT team comes from the Middle Eastern region, or they're foreign. You know, maybe they believe that that's the best people to get to run their IT. So that's who they hire. But then they don't consider the customer service and customer support aspect of
that's a little
technology.
Different. Okay, that's a little different. If you're dealing with somebody in another part of the world, it helps to have someone who speaks their language, right, and knows their way of communication. But you said we all know that diversity helps make everything better. I don't see how, you know, makes an accountant better than another accountant where he comes from.
Well, you're talking about an individual basis. I'm talking about more of a team and a more of a unit.
Okay, an accounting team, an audit team. They go in to do an audit of a company. What difference does it make what their backgrounds are?
Well, that's the point, Adam. I mean, we don't know what difference it is. We know that different people will bring different things to the job.
Different,
so it's better to have a group of people
different
with different things.
Accounting? Different accounting things?
The perspective of accounting. You know,
no
someone
way. It has no
relevance. The impact of accounting on one person to another person is all different. I'm not an accountant, so I don't know. But the difference on the different areas.
Making a big statement. I know you're not an accountant. You're overgeneralizing.
I'm trying to answer the questions about accounting diversity as best I can.
Okay, fine.
But let me ask you this.
And say, you know, I learned something. I'm a big talker on my blog. Maybe I overgeneralize. Maybe I won't do that in the future. I'll think of a few different concrete situations. Now, final question, I think, for you today. You say, you agree with Jay-Z, that there's no lessons learned from success. I was shocked.
What?
There's no lessons learned from success. So I figured, well, then I should go and follow a bunch of failures on Twitter, people who aren't successful. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all. You're kind of taking that one out of context a little bit. The statement is you learn more from failure than you do from success. There is no life. If everybody's successful right off the bat, if you do something, you say, I want to be the best recruiter, and you become the best recruiter without any trials and tribulations, then you've not learned anything. You've not had to go through anything. The message, the main point of that statement is you have to go through something to really be successful and enjoy your success. And that's what the point of that article was. Now, the statement was there are no lessons learned in success, but it's a broader than that. It's not just that tidbit. You have to go through it. Everybody has gone through it, and when you go through it, you're better than
you. So you're saying your own statement is BS?
No, I'm not. I'm saying my thing was taken out of context.
Right, but the comment you just made, I call BS.
Well, I call BS on your BS because it's not BS.
It is absolutely impossible to become a – let's take your example. It is absolutely impossible to become a successful – to walk in and just become a successful recruiter. The only way you've become that is because you've gone through trials and tribulations.
It's impossible to be successful at anything without having first gone through something. That's for anything and everybody.
Right.
Yeah, but if you are successful at something, then you've learned what to keep doing more of. Lesson
and
learned.
Less of.
But how do you get to that success? It's not instantaneous. It's a process,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, talented people are successful from the time they're kids, and they do it well. It doesn't mean they don't learn more.
You name me one person that's successful from the time they're a child to now.
They didn't have
no one. No one ever has just started out being successful. You
They're
have
good.
To go through a process to get to success. And that's what that statement's all about. That
statement's wrong.
Trust fund babies.
That statement's wrong.
I was thinking Paris Hilton, actually. But then, you know, you have to get into what success really is, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Trust fund babies.
Let's make sure everybody knows your Twitter name. It's new_resource. What's the logic of that? new_resource. Why'd you call yourself that?
Do you want me to, I can make up something, or I can tell you the truth. Which one do you want?
Whichever's shorter.
I don't know. Okay, so the makeup thing is that I just wanted to be a new resource in the Twitter community. That's the made up answer.
And your blog is costofwork.com, is that right?
That's right.
Costofwork.com. It's a good blog.
The logic behind that is like the cost of living term from compensation.
Yeah,
cost of work, because we all pay a price for this thing that we do called work.
Okay, and since you're a consultant, what kind of job are you looking for?
I love HR stuff, but I found out that I really love dealing with the people part. I don't like the automated stuff, and I don't like the system stuff. I'm more of a dealing with employee relations, training development, the basic parts of the human.
What city are you in that you're open for hire?
I want to go to Nashville, Animal. That's where I'm looking to go to, Nashville. I'm in Memphis now, but I want to go to Nashville.
Okay. All right, Chris, great. Thanks for calling in. Let's get to Amy Alla.
Wait. You promised me
you
a song.
You should follow Matt LeBlanc. He's in Nashville.
Okay,
he's an ADP recruiter.
Okay, Amy, are you still in for the song?
I have a cold, but I'll try.
You know what? Anybody who doesn't have the guts to sound stupid on the Recruiting Animal show.
Animal, I've been on the show 3 times. If that's not me being willing to sound stupid, I don't know what is.
Okay.
Chris,
are you ready? I'm going to go. Count to 3 and we're going to go, okay? Ready?
You're going to do it first and I'm going to come back behind you, right?
We're going to do it together. I gave you the recording so you could practice on your own. And listen, I'm on the Skype headset. I don't feel like my normal self. I'm at a disadvantage as well, okay? We're going together. One, two, three. Sex bomb, sex bomb. Come on, Chris, you're my sex bomb.
You can get
it to me when I need to come along. Sex bomb, sex
bomb.
You're my sex bomb. Baby, you
bomb.
Can...
Oh, I was saying bomb. Yeah. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Oh, man.
It wasn't making sense.
Okay,
that was
you know
the highlight of my day.
Just, you know, Mike Astringer was looking at pictures of Amy Alla on recruiting blog.
I look at pictures of Amy Alla every night before I go to bed.
All the time you were talking. Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's my time. Thank you.
Well, you're allowed. You can go, or you can stay on the couch and criticize Amy like she criticized you. Okay.
But we prefer you go.
I didn't criticize.
Maybe
he can stick around though. It's all good.
Chris, we prefer you go. Thank you.
Random.
It was nice meeting you.
I just thought BS on something random that Amy said that I really don't care about. So let's do it.
Oh, please. I love it when people push back because I don't get it very often because I'm right so often.
I call
so
BS on that, Amy. That's BS. You don't love it.
Yeah. Okay.
That
okay.
I don't love what?
Amy, just let me take over.
Okay.
Okay?
All
Amy,
right.
I asked Amy to come on the show because, you know, I ran into a number of people, sort of sad sack job hunters, family occasions and places, social events.
Funerals. It happens to you a lot at funerals.
You know what? It happened at a funeral. That's true.
Yeah.
And two people at one funeral. Anyway, I was frustrated because they're people who are really difficult. I'll tell you in a minute the details. They're really difficult to help. And so I asked Amy to come on to help me sort of, you know, therapize with me. But I see on recruiting blogs she's got a ton of problems herself. She's totally blown her lid. So she's got to share first about her problems, and then maybe she can help me. Go ahead.
Well, I think that our problems are very similar. So you want to talk about the most recent blog post with the guy who threw my friend under the bus?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Why do you hate
me? All right.
Then I'll
tell
you.
So, you know, I – what? Hush. Okay. So I often, on my own time, which I know you do as well, will spend time with job seekers reviewing resumes, you know, 30-minute phone calls with them, helping them, you know, work through the process, applying, networking, whatever. So this job seeker that I've been trying to help for a while, and I've told him, do these things, and here's a list of people to call, and all this help that he's been given – calls me up ranting about a recruiter that he doesn't know I know and is saying all this negative stuff about her and that she's not helping and she's a dirty word
yeah,
and all this.
Come on, get to the point.
So I ask him, what do you mean? What exactly happened that makes you think that she feels this way about you? He played a voicemail for me where she was explaining to him in very nice terms that he was not a fit for the jobs that she recruits for. Different industry, it's not even close. I said, well, what do you want her to do? I don't understand. I mean, you're not
Here's my take on your problem. The people you talk to think they're living in Russia, and they think you've been hired by the government to get them a job, but that's not true, right?
Exactly.
Obama is our president. No one in this country gets jobs.
Ooh.
But you know what? I was at one point hired by the government to help people get jobs. You want to talk about war stories from that time in my career? Because that was worse.
No, I'll talk about my problems. And you know, I'm on a different headset. I'm not used to being like this, and I'm so confused today. But anyway, look, here's my problem. I go to the funeral, and one of the mourners, the person who died, they're chatting with me. Oh, you're a headhunter. What field do you specialize in? Not her field, right?
Right.
She's 55 years old. She's just not happy with – she's got a steady job, but it's not a glory job. It really doesn't suit her education. She went back to school. She got a postgraduate degree that, you know, sounds from a name brand school. She should be on the road to big success. She's in her 50s. And so I said, look, you know, I don't think you're going to get a job. You should be stick with what you have. And she said, I'm sticking my neck out, but that's what I imagine. She's in her 50s. She hasn't had a big job, at least not for a while. She's been in her current job for 5 years. So I send her a note. I stuck my neck out. I said, you know what? You might want to be cautious. So she sends me back an article that it's really hot now. It's really a hot job market for people over 55. And I read the article. It's kind of like they're working at Home Depot or something like that. The retired people, they can bring them in. They got them at, you know, for low wages, and they get all their experience. I don't think it's the same for her. And, you know, I think she got mad at me. So, I don't know. I feel very frustrated. What should I have said to her?
You should have said, what steps are you taking to network within this industry you want to get into?
How's your LinkedIn profile? Uh-huh. Who have you contacted? Do you have a list of target companies that you want to meet people at? Have you researched what is the title at these companies of people that you would report to and maybe think about networking with them?
And just leave her on her own. In other words, just give her a kiss off, right?
No, it's give her some tools that she can either choose to use or not use.
No, really, Amy, what you're saying is, well, you know what, you have to, you know, take a look at the industry that you're interested in moving into, go on the internet, pick out some names, go to some of the industrial directories, pick up some names, and call those people or email them, and you'll be, you know, that's the best I can do for you. Really, that's nothing. That's like 30 seconds.
That's nothing?
Yeah, that's 30 seconds.
That's nothing.
Bye-bye. Hi. Well, this is what you have to do. Go do some research and call a bunch of people.
Go do some research and then come back and tell me how that went, and then we'll talk about the next step.
Oh, that's like a lifelong engagement with this person. And then there was another guy. I think I mentioned it before. He says, can you help me find a job? Okay. He's in his 40s. He's dyslexic. I didn't realize it at the beginning. He cannot read. He's a nice guy, but he cannot read. And so he's on some kind of benefits, and he can't earn over the amount that there's a clawback on his government benefits if he earns too much money. So he only wants a part-time job, and it has to be something that doesn't require any reading. What am I going to do?
Get him enrolled in a reading class, maybe?
He's got dyslexia. He can't read. He would have learned how to read already. Anybody else want
to
help
him to
me?
Tell him to buy a bullet, rent a gun, and move on.
Nice.
Anybody
else? Fingers got the gun.
Anybody else can help me here? There's still a lot of people on the line.
I mean, does anyone disagree with what I've said so far?
Can we just move on to what Amy Allen's wearing?
Animal, I mean, Amy's right. You just have to also ask her, what does she want to do? Because
I talked about two people. Now I'm talking about the dyslexic person, okay? What do I do with him?
Ask him, does he know what careers can he do with that situation? There's got to be something the guy can do.
So what do you say?
And he wants a part-time job.
Look, here's my – I think Amy's got something. You just have to turn these people down. You cannot help them, okay? I think maybe you should just get a book that they'll never read, a job hunting book that you like a lot, like Guerrilla Marketing for Job Hunters. It's a favorite of mine by a fellow Canadian. And say, look, this is a great book. Go to this website. It'll cost you $12 on Kindle. Read that. He's got a lot of good tips there. And let them hate you. Let them think you're selfish, that you don't want to help people and all that stuff, because you can't help them. There's nothing you can do. You'll bury yourself. You'll be unappreciated because there's not anything you can do to help these people anyway.
So what's the end game here? I mean, do you want to be loved or do you want
I think in the past you want to be a nice person, but you just can't afford it.
I think it's very nice to take the time to say, here's some suggestions that I have. Why don't you go do these things and then come back and let me know how that went, and we'll talk about next steps. That's very nice. I don't have to do that, but I do it because it's the right thing to do. If some schmuck isn't willing to take responsibility for his part of the process, then I don't care if he likes me because that guy's a douche.
Well, what if he can't read? Like my guy.
Set expectations, Emma.
Who said that? Pardon me?
You've got to set expectations. You can't help everybody.
You can't help everybody. That's right.
Did Mike just say that? Was that Mike?
I don't know who that is.
Wasn't me. I was just thinking about helping Amy.
With the dyslexic guy or the paraplegic guy and these other folks that you're dealing with, Hamill.
Yeah.
Give them a bucket of ripped up paper.
Uh-huh.
Have them walk into the movie theater.
Yeah.
Toss some around.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they can get a job as a ticket ripper.
Who is this? You want to say?
It's Travis.
Oh, Travis. What happened to your nice deep voice? It disappeared. You had a richer kind of voice before. Anything else we should talk about? Travis, you got anything to talk about? Because otherwise I think I'll end early.
I would like to discuss the next case of the unfortunate soul that you're dealing with trying to get a job. Missing arms, legs, feet.
I'm finished. Come on. Don't go there. You know, you're going to get me sued or give me a bad reputation as
Not
oh,
my...
yeah, because Animal has such a sterling reputation.
I
right
have
now.
A good reputation. All I do is try to keep people honest. Don't tell me I had a shout at Chris. He didn't want to cooperate. I had to teach him something, okay?
I've learned so
much. Is Chris
much.
Still on? What, see? Tell me where my advice is off, Animal. I know it's
I
not what you want to hear.
Your advice, here's where your advice is off. If you're going to just give him the kiss off, don't ask him to come back.
That's the kiss off. That's a kiss off. Yeah. Saying, here are some specific tools and things that you can do. Go do them, and then let's talk about it. Is a kiss off?
Yeah,
I agree with
what
Animal.
Would you like
I
me
agree
to
with
do?
Animal.
Would you like me to be like the helicopter parents back in my staffing days who were coming into the office with their child and preparing to fill out the paper application on their behalf? Is that the
you.
Kind of recruiter
you
we're supposed
the
to be? Or are we
said
supposed to enable?
Well, you said the
there's not enough time in the day. There's not enough time in the day, Animal, to tell them what to do and help them.
Right.
Expect them to help themselves, and they don't. And then you say, "Well, I tell you what, because you're not going to take these steps that I've given you, I'm going to drive over and pick you up, and I'm going to take you here so we can do this or that." There's just not enough time in the day, man.
Uh-huh.
You got to set the expectations and then move along.
What do you think?
And then what happens if we quote unquote get them a job? Are we supposed to go to work with them and do the job for them because
well,
the poor things
the
can't seem to do it
what
themselves?
About-
actually, you've hit on the first step. You have. When any of us are talking to somebody, one of the things that I'll do is I'll say, here, go do this, or I'll send them an email to call somebody that I do think can really help them. And I'll call that person and say, hey, Bob Smith should be calling you. Wait for it.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. So that you need to make sure they're somewhat motivated before you spend your valuable time.
Okay. I think I'm going to wrap
they
that up.
They
got
to have some skin in the game, Animal. If yeah. they don't have some mm-hmm. skin in the game, I don't want to play. It's ridiculous.
Right. Anybody
Mike
else?
Wants Amy to have skin in the game.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
Mike definitely wants Amy to ask him in the game.
Mike, you don't help people find, you know, these job hunters? You don't help anybody?
You know what, Animal? Your voice compared to Amy's, I can't even hear you. Just let her talk.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So let me ask you a question, Animal, because I know this matters to you, and I know, you know, being a nice guy and
I'm
wanting
not anymore.
To help people
I understand.
Is so important.
I learned something.
Have we disabused you of
me.
That notion? So let me tell you a story. So I was a WorkSource specialist, which is the name given to career coaches at the Washington State Employment Security Department. And this guy comes in with a resume, and he was significantly older than me. And he hands me a resume, and he says, I want this job. And he shows me this job that's posted with his resume. And I'm looking at it, and I said, well, you know, your resume says that you've worked in a warehouse and done these things. This job is specific for a forklift driver with these certifications, with this basic experience. So have you done these? Rips the paper out of my hand, starts cussing at me, saying, of course I've done it. I've been working since you were little, whatever, right? And I said, okay, thank you for clarifying. We need to put that on your resume. The resume is going to go to the employer. They're going to want to see these basic qualifications spelled out. He proceeded to tell me that I didn't know nothing about nothing and ripped up his resume, threw it at me, and walked away, bitching about how
well,
ineffective
that
government
well, I mean,
workers were.
So you met a freak. What's the story? What's the point?
So, well, I met one every day. That's like the typical audience that we would look at in the employment security department. So what would you have had me do? Run out in the parking lot and chase him and say,
yeah,
oh, no,
that's a different
here,
situation.
Let me do it for
you.
You
know what,
it's
Amy, you just
story.
Let me know when that happens again, and I'm coming out
day.
There to pop a cap.
That's what we're up against every day.
There's an easy solution.
Let me ask you a question. I told that woman who's over 55, just maybe over 50 years old, I said, I don't think you're going to get anything. You know, stay where you are. Was I sticking my neck out too far when I said that?
You were being blunt.
Yo, you think it was true?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It could be true. I mean, but here's the thing.
It could
if
be.
If you are serious, Ms. Candidate, if you're serious about taking these steps, then here's what I recommend. Go and do that.
Animal.
Let me know how it works for you.
Yeah.
The important question is, Animal, were you being truthful?
Yeah, I didn't think she'd get a job at the level she wanted. I thought she should stay where she is. That's what I thought, but maybe I was giving her the wrong information. But what
I
I'm hearing, what I'm hearing is when people say, can you help me? And the answer should be, you know, really no. I'm not a job hunter, advisor, consultant. I find people for special jobs, people with special skills. They will not understand it. They will not like you. But at least you don't have any responsibility. Because, you know, when I say, oh, yeah, I'll help you or I'll do what I can, and I can't do anything, they're not going to like me anyway.
No, the answer is, what kind of help is it that you're looking for?
Yes.
Because here's what I can do.
Right.
Yes.
And they can choose to take that or not.
Okay.
And that, and helping people can translate into money for you.
I don't think so.
I do. It has.
Oh.
The price of my time is, once they get a job, they call me to engage me to do the recruiting for their new company.
Uh-huh.
I've had that happen multiple times.
Uh-huh.
And the other, now here's one where years ago I asked for help as a new graduate, and I had a guy that had a little executive search, gave me his card, said, well, don't call me for 15 years. It was very rude. And about 10 years later, I got a piece of business I couldn't do, was worth $70,000 on a fee. And guess what? I keep his card. I gave it to somebody else that was a friend. I met this guy surreptitiously about a year later. I said, remember you said this? He goes, oh, I used to tell that to everybody. I said, it costed you $70,000.
Costed him, yeah. Okay, well, I thought, you know what? Sounds like he told you the right thing. Anyway, I think the show's over. Anybody else got anything important to share?
Yeah, use a hard line next time.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Goodbye!
Don't let me down.